Welcome once again to River of Life, all of you who are in the house and those of you who are out of the house. Several people had texted me this morning that they were going to be on Zoom, so hello. We're so on Facebook. So glad you're there. They said Zoom now that I think about it, but I'm sure they're on Facebook. So praise God. However you hear the word, we need to hear the word, amen. And so I just wanted to let you know, coming up next, Brother Jeff is going to sing a special. The title of the song is Word of God Speak, one of my favorite songs. And then immediately after him, we are honored to have Elder Jim teaching this morning. Let's give the Lord a praise for Elder Jim. We are so thankful for him. You know, I was looking back through our church notes, and you taught this Sunday last year. Yeah, you did. And he taught on Rescue Me. How many remember that message? Powerful message. Yes. And so we always look forward to the times when Elder Jim is able to teach. And so at this time, we're always thankful when Brother Jeff sings too. So let's give Brother Jeff a praise. We thank God for the gifts that he's put into him, and he's so willing to share them with us. We are blessed at the River of Life.
Amen, Brother Jeff. You moved me. Thank you, Father, that we can enter into your rest, knowing your word, to be rooted in the study of your word, to be rooted in prayer. Father, we thank you for this great privilege that you count us worthy to be kings and priests before you. What an honor. Thank you, Lord. Now I got to be able to see my notes. In 1976, I left the denomination I grew up in and in search for the reality of God, to see what the scriptures declared. Where was the reality of God? And I found my first full gospel pastor with the help of a friend. We were both visiting churches in different parts of the county looking for the reality of God. And we found it. Dave called me up one day. He said, I think I found it. We got to go next Sunday. He's an evangelist, and there's signs, wonders, miracles. And so I spent the next 4.5 years in that ministry. But early on in the ministry, I asked Pastor Neil, because I wanted the reality of God in my life, to what should I do to mature? What are the things that you would recommend a young man do? Because up to that point, I'd only been saved, 3 years? Really had just a very fundamental understanding of the scriptures. And he said, reading the Word of God and studying it will help you, number one, hear the voice of God. It'll train your ear to hear the voice of God. And you will know his ways and not just his works. And that was the cry of Moses, too. To know the ways of God and not just his works. And Marlene, his wife, she was a great prophetess. She overheard the conversation and she said, you need to read the Word of God, so you know how to pray the word. I was so new to this, it's like, what does that mean? To pray the word. You know, that's how young I was in things. But when you heard her pray, she prayed the word. And so that was good advice, and I started reading the Word of God. He gave me a Bible reading plan that took me through the Old Testament once a year. And I did this daily for 43 years. So I read the Old Testament 43 times, the New Testament twice a year, so that's 86 times, and Psalms and Proverbs 86 times. Being in the Word daily. And so that was good advice initially, but very quickly, and this is, of course, 4.5 years before I knew I'd be called to be a teacher, I said, well, God, that's good. I've heard Pastor Neil and his wife and their counsel, but I said, I want to know what you think about me reading the Word. Why should I read the Word? And so as I did my daily devotions, I slowly found scriptures and God would speak to me. And so that's what we're going to go over this morning is the scriptures God gave me of why God thought I should read the Word so that I could know the Word, know His ways, hear His voice, and pray the Word. So what greater thing than God speaking to you about why He wants you to read the Word, right? And so that's the verses we're going to go over. We're going to go fairly quickly because there's a lot of verses, but there's a reason why I'm doing this. John 1:1, let's start there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So Jesus, the living Word, is foundational to the kingdom of God. There's a very good reason for reading the Word, right? Psalm 119:89. Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heaven. The Word is eternal. It doesn't change. It's firm in the heaven. Eternal. That's a long time. That means even after we leave this planet, we're going to need to know the Word. It's eternal. And in Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God, the word of our God, stands forever. The word will never die. It's alive and relevant to every generation. Your generation, Connor, your generation. There's life that will speak to you as you read the Word. And there's been men and kingdoms that have tried to destroy the Word of God, burn it, take it from people, and it stood firm. It's not been taken from us. Matter of fact, we're in an age of the greatest revelation of the Word, the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, a whole bunch of things, archaeology, I mean, verifying scripture. I mean, we're in an amazing time of the Word of God standing forever. Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So God's word will outlast this earth, and it will be pertinent to our heavenly life. You know, it says when we're standing before Christ at the final judgment, and we will know Him and be known as He knows us, and we'll have that fulfillment of the mind of Christ. And it's like, I want to know as much of the Word as I can so I don't hold up the line, you know, as that download comes and, you know, we get the rest of that revelation that we didn't get here while we were on the earth, you know. So it will be pertinent to our heavenly life, and we'll get into that towards the end, why it's pertinent later in life. Hosea 4:6, this one really hit me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. And that word destroyed means just what you would think, to be ceased, in other words, deceased, to be cut off, to be cut down, to be destroyed, to be silenced, to be utterly undone. That's what the lack of knowledge does to you. It destroys you. And so this lack of knowledge is a quick death. And you can see that in the world, right? You see worldly people. They don't have the knowledge of the Word of God. They're lifeless in terms of the kingdom of God. But rejected, destroyed, rejected by God. No priesthood. God forgetting our children. Oh my. Proverbs 29:18 takes us in a different direction from quick death to slow death. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. In this no vision, where there is no vision, translates as where there's no revelation of God. So you got to have knowledge, and you got to have a revelation of God to have really true life. But no vision, the people perish. That word perish means a slow death, a wasting away. It can also be translated to, some of your translations may say, where there is no vision or revelation, the people cast off restraint, which means literally to go backwards. So, lack of knowledge, quick death. Lack of a revelation of what God wants in your life, slow death. And you see this in people's life. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what the Word of God does and what it doesn't do in people's lives. Proverbs 28:7. He who keeps the law is a discerning son. Well, I'd like to be a discerning son, right? The word should be read and it should be kept. Reading but not keeping the word of God is what? It's sin. Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So meditation on the word will bring success and prosperity. So if you're looking for the key to success, there's a lot of books on success. I'll tell you right now, the biggest key to success is reading the Word of God. Jeremiah 15:16. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. So the words of God, I ate them. This implies a digesting of the word, a meditation on the word. So when you get the word into your head and down into your heart and you can meditate on it, God starts to reveal, right? You start to get revelation. And when you get revelation, there's no slow perishing away, right? So another good reason to read the word. Job 23:12. This one hit me hard too. Job 23:12. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I don't know about you, but sometimes, particularly when I was getting started with the reading of the word, it's like, got to be disciplined. Got to do this. I'm going to be committed to this daily reading of the word. You know, I'm a disciple. I'm going to do this. Well, then I read this verse and I thought, well, there's the key. Do I or don't I desire it more than my necessary food? So I started my daily Bible reading again around 1977, maybe late 76. And so to be discipled, I thought, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy to desire the Word of God more than my necessary food. So what's that mean? I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm not going to eat breakfast till I've been in the Word of God. And I did that for several years to get myself disciplined. After a while, after several years, it's like, I can't wait to get downstairs to read the Word. I desired the Word more than my necessary food. You want to get disciple disciplined? Don't eat breakfast before you read the Word of God. My Bible reading plan, again, that took me through the Old Testament once a year and the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs twice a year, only takes 20 minutes of reading a day, and you pray over it for 10 or 15 minutes. That's not a long time. You can get up an extra half hour or 40 minutes before you start your day and go to work. Now, sometimes people, there was a time when I was more of a night person, that didn't last too long. So some people do this at night before they go to bed. Some people like me do it in the morning. So let's go on to Psalm 119:103. How sweet are your promises, in other words, your words, to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I ate your words. I desired them more than my necessary food. Psalm 19:8, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commandment of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. We have a generation that is struggling with anxiety and depression. There's several key scriptures that I'm going to read here. If that's a struggle in your area of life, the Word of God is good medicine for that. It says here that the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. I think that's the opposite of depression, right? Giving joy. Joy, joy, joy. Deuteronomy 11:19. Teach them to your children. This is the Word of God. Teach the Word of God to your children. Talking about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and even when you get up. And so we did that with our children. We talked to them about the Word of the Lord all the time. You take a road trip on vacation, great time to discuss things about, you know, real life. You're not raising children, you're raising young adults. And you need to talk to them like that too. Hey, here's the reality of what's going on. You know, and put it in their language. So Matthew, at a real young age, was when we moved to Goshen, so he would have been maybe in that five-year-old, okay, checking with my wife here, 5 years old. And so we would lay with him at night, talk to him, pray, sing, get him calmed down in his own bed, in his bedroom. And he started me on a series of teaching. He was so hungry for the Word. He said, Dad, I want to know the great things of God. Wow, there's a five-year-old for you. And so out of my daily reading for 8 months, he would say, Dad, tell me the great things of God. I want to know. Tell me a great thing of God. You know, I wish I had recorded that series. It would have been great. But every night, God would give me something. And he learned the greatness of God. And so, he's very prophetic today. He's led home groups. He's a good teacher. But talk to your children every day, every moment that you get. There's a lot of opportunities. And like they're going through a struggle, talk to them about it from God's perspective. Give them a heavenly perspective on what's going on. Talk to them about spiritual things. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, there's a lot of darkness in the world. I think that would be good. If you want to see clearly, study the Word of God. It'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Psalm 119:130, he gives understanding to the simple. I don't have it all. Do you have it all? You need a little bit more understanding? Read the Word of God. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. See, if you're simple, you can become wise. How? By being rooted in the reading and study of the Word of God. Making wise the simple. It revives the soul. Again, here's if you struggle with anxiety or depression, read the Word of God. It says it revives the soul. It lifts it up. It brings joy. Get God's perspective so that what we call risen eyes, eyes that are up in heaven looking down on the perspective of what's happening here in the earth. Have God's perspective on what's going on. Psalm 119:11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You may not always have the word of God. And if you don't, if you have it hidden in your heart, you can always meditate on it. So for 43 years, I did this daily routine. And then a few years ago, with my muscle disability, you don't think about this as a normal person, but every muscle in my body is weakening, including my eyes. Your eyes have to focus, and it takes a lot of strain and muscular activity in the eyes to be able to read. So now I have good days and bad days. Some days I can't read. It's just a close thing. It's not a distance thing. But within this range of reading, some days I can't read. It's too blurry. About 4 years ago when this started, my doctor said, I don't believe what we just tested you for. There's too big a change. And she retested me. She said, eyes don't do this. And I said, well, doc, I said, you got to remember about my disability. They told me, you know, this is a possibility. And so the last 4 years, man, my prescription's been changing. And actually, going from where I was with my eyes being really tight, and now they're weakening, and my prescription is actually improving somewhat, although it's in and out. It's going back more towards 20/20 in the reading aspect. But the focusing, the ability to look and read and study. So sometimes 4 years ago, when this was all starting, my eyes were going, I was preaching, and my eyes are going in and out, and I was like, okay, the just shall live by faith. There's the word. I'm going to stand on that word. I said, oh God, help me read what I need to read. And through that sermon, he helped me read what I needed to read. And when I couldn't read, I had it memorized and in my heart, and I could still make it through the sermon. Different type of challenge. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So now my eye muscles are weaker. All my muscles are weaker. The pain is up. The energy is down. I only have sometimes 2 to 3 hours of energy in a day, sometimes five. You don't know what the future holds. Man, if you're in good health, read the Word of God right now. You know, my pastor's pastor in his 90s, I called him from Indiana here, and I knew he was failing. He was in his 90s, and I asked Pastor Jack, I said, well, how you doing? He said, well, my body's failing. I can't go to church. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm so weak, I can't read anymore. but I hid the word in my heart. And so I pray every day for the next generation, for God to raise up the next generation. He said, I pray for the church. My highest calling, to pray. Amen. To pray. You don't ever fail, really. You just transition. I don't know, that's my word. So I'm transitioning. Deuteronomy 8:3. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Not by bread alone, not by coffee and donuts alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So study. Make a habit. Be disciplined. It will help you to hear God's voice and pray and live a successful life. Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Not depression. Hope. Joy overflowing. Read the Word of God. It'll bring hope. It'll bring joy. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So all these are different, right? Okay, teaching is giving you instruction on a subject or whatever. Rebuking, I was rebuked once when I first got teaching over in La Porte when God released me first as a teacher, because right, I'd only been in the Word 4.5 years. I didn't know everything. I still don't know everything. But I was teaching a subject and being young in the Lord and being young in teaching, some of my old denominational thought came into the teaching, and Mary and Ed were missionaries, and Mary was a great teacher. And she said, stop, Jim. You know, and believe me, I'm not a prideful person. It didn't offend me. I said, what, Mary? She said, Jim, that's wrong. She said, here's what that scripture means. And she added to the teaching. So, I mean, some would have looked at it as rude, but it wasn't. It needed to be corrected in front of 36 saints of God who were listening to the teaching. Never be so proud that you can't be taught. Even if it's a rebuke. Now, sometimes there's correcting. You know, Madeline, I hear what you're seeing. I know what you're doing. It's almost right, but try, you know, a little bit of correction, a little bit of tweaking here and there, and you got it. That's correcting. And training in righteousness. Training implies a repetition to get things right. One of the training processes I put myself through is witnessing, right? You can get better and better at witnessing by knowing the Word of God and by being able to share it to people so that they can understand it. So training is repetition. We talk about muscle memory, right? Athletes. Well, get some muscle memory up here, okay? Do some training. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let the Word of God examine you. If you're going to do your daily reading, say, okay, God, how does this apply to me? What do I need to improve? How does this apply to the church? How does this apply to my job? How does this apply to the world around me? But let it examine you first in your thoughts and your intents, your motives. Let your motives be pure, lined up with the Word of God. John 12:48. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. So accept Christ as Messiah now before the judgment day. And this is an admonition not just to the unsaved, but to the church too. There is a judge for the one who rejects me You know, not every Christian's going to make it up in the rapture. God says he's going to throw part of the church that didn't wash their robes white, he's going to throw them into the great tribulation. Maybe they had some things to correct, but wouldn't receive correction or rebuking. You know, if you can't be rebuked or corrected, you're not teachable. Please remain teachable. Please remain humble. John 14:24, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And so this verse kind of came home when I was in college. I had two friends. They were both, they were a married couple, Deb and Doug. They were both Christians. They were both very highly intelligent, master's degree going for their PhDs. And we would all get together and have fun as Christians and stuff. And Deb, who was extremely bright, had an extremely high IQ brother, too, who was not a Christian, but he got curious one day, and he thought, well, I'm going to read this Bible that my sister's reading. And in 1 week, he read the Bible, cover to cover. Very high intelligence. Came to Deb and said, Deb, I don't get it. You know, I read it, but I just don't get it. And her reply was very special. She said, well, it was written for his children. You need to accept Christ. God's children understands it. We get it. But I thought, kind of interesting that the unsaved, her brother, read the Bible from cover to cover, didn't get anything out of it. He had no revelation. No change in his life. No God in his heart. Revelation 3:8. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. This is God speaking to the church at Philadelphia in the book of Revelation. Know the word so you can keep the word and not deny Jesus. The more you know him, you won't reject him. 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. So the Word of God gives us confirmation that eternal life is possible. Right? Some people don't know if they're saved and going to heaven. But we as Christians can know. So all you got to do is read the Word of God. Your eternal salvation is guaranteed there. Rooted in study of the Word and in prayer. John 8:51. I tell you the truth, if a man keeps my words, he will never see death. So God wants us to live eternally with him in peace. He will never see death. Of course, the Bible speaks of two deaths, right? The physical death of the body, where we get our eternal body. And the second death, we will not experience. Okay, that's the judgment. That's the unsaved. Those are the ones that will be eternally separated from God. So we will never see that second death. How horrible for those that see the second death. If a man keeps my words, he will never see death. John 6:63, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I, Jesus, have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Again, there you go. Reading the Word of God should produce life in you. Not anxiety, not depression. Should produce life. An abundant life. An overflowing life that can now minister to others. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads the word of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. 10 years ago, almost coordinated with the onset of this disability I struggle with. About 10 years ago, the Lord started reminding me almost daily, the time is near, the time is short. Time to be about the Father's business. Time is near. Time is short. Know His Word. Know His Word. So the Word should give you vision and revelation, not only for yourself, but for your family and for others. The Word should motivate you to pray for others and for the church and for the nation. I pray for the nation almost every night. It's just a calling God gave me. We're in trouble, folks. Pray the Word of God over this nation. And God gave me a transition a number of years ago. I used to say, Lord, save our nation. He said, oh no, you're wrong. Again, correcting, rebuking, right? It can come from God too. And I started changing the way I prayed. Lord, save your nation. This is your nation. It's not my nation. It's not our nation. It's your nation. You founded it. Bring the hearts of the people back to you. Let the Americans read your word. Let them have knowledge and revelation of you again. No knowledge, quick death. No revelation, slow death. It's where our generation is. So God, we pray for revival over our nation. A couple weeks ago, I got up after sleeping 2 hours, and God said to pray for a specific young person that was going through a particular issue. And a lot of times when I pray for people, it could be 20 minutes, it might be an hour, sometimes 2 hours. And the middle of the night's a good time for me because everything's quiet. I've had 2 hours of sleep, I'm rested. But this night, I would ask God, am I done? Am I done? 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. After 6 hours, He said, now you're done. He said, I want you to declare it. It's done. He said, say it again. It's done. Say it again. It's finished. It's done. Pray the word. And pray until it's done. You may save somebody else's life. Pray until you have that confirmation it's done. Let me give you an example of how important it is to know the Word of God, because I had a lady once say to me, and she wasn't saved, oh, you Christians, you're so judgmental. I said, well, absolutely. We're called to judge all things. Well, didn't Jesus say, judge not lest you be judged? I said, yes, He did. And if you put that in the context of the rest of Scripture, He was talking about not being earthly minded when you judge. So let's look at judgment for just a minute, because there's a point to this. And these scriptures are not in the notes. I did this last night, so Angela, you're off the hook right now. Matthew 7:1, do not judge or you too will be judged. That's Jesus, right? So, we don't judge, and we just let the world run all over us, right? Psalm 7:8, let the Lord judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, almost high. So yes, judge me, Lord. First of all, judge me. And judgment starts first where? In the house of the Lord, with His saints. Colossians 2:16-17, let's build on this judgment theme here. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festivals, or a new moon celebration, or even a Sabbath day. Don't let them judge you about that. Don't judge others based on natural things. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 6. If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more than the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? Are you kidding me? Are you not reading the Word of God? Are you not knowing the ways of God? Are you not meditating on His Word? Are you not praying? What's wrong with you people? The Corinthian church. We will judge the world. We will judge trivial cases in the church. We will judge angels. We should be judging the things of this life. We should be wise judges. 1 Samuel 24:11 to 15. This is David talking to Saul after David had taken a piece of his cloak off of in the cave of Adullam, and he was giving Saul a reality check here. He says, "See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but I did not kill you. Now understand and recognize that I am not guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, and my hand will not touch you. May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand." There's a very important prayer, and I'll talk to you about it in a minute. But you got a dispute with somebody? You got somebody evil trying to do something? Lord God, stand between me and that person. Judge this situation, O Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 16. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. There's Deb's brother reading the Word of God and getting nothing out of it, right? Verse 15, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and therefore we can judge all things. And it doesn't matter if men judge us, because God will judge us on how we are judging all things according to his word, because we know the word, we have revelation of the word, we've built it into our heart, we've meditated on it, and we can be wise judges. So yes, you Christians, you're very judgmental, because you should be judging all things with the mind of Christ. And so, I can think of three instances in my career of 39 years where wicked men tried to do something. One man said, "I can take this business from you. I control your financial future. And I expect a bribe of this amount each month." Well, we didn't do that. We had a righteous CEO. And I would never do that. So I said, "God, Carol and I, boy, you want a great prayer warrior? Right there, my wife." We said, "God, stand between us, between me and this man, and judge this situation and either remove him or move me on. I will live with your judgment because I want you to stand between us and judge this. There was another man who wanted confidential proprietary information that only our company had because he was going to start his business and do it. And he wanted me to give him that confidential information so he could teach it to his new clients. Well, that didn't end too well for him because we prayed the same prayer. Judge between us, O Lord. There was another situation. In those three instances, God removed those people within 30 days and gave me righteous men and women to work with. Now, on the other hand, I can think of a couple situations where I prayed that prayer, judge between us, O Lord, and I lost the business. Okay, God, I trust in your judgment. They don't control my financial future. You do. And what did God do? Yes, a competitor got that account. God gave me a bigger, better account, more profitable, with growth potential. One account grew 8 times its initial value in the 15 years I had it. So I can trust God to judge before me, but there's a good prayer. God, stand between me and them and judge the situation according to your righteousness. So that's what I mean about rightly discerning the word of God. Judge not lest you be judged. Okay, well, if you take that one scripture, then you never judge, right? But if you put it in context with the rest of scripture, yes, we are supposed to judge according to the will and ways of God with the mind of Christ. And to pray. Reading the word of God without praying is like, I don't know, kind of worthless, maybe, I don't know. Or selfish, maybe that's a better word, selfish. You're keeping it just to yourself. So why do I give you these scriptures? Because number one, it helped motivate me to read the word of God daily, to give up my necessary food before I would complete my reading. So when I got done with this and God gave me all these answers, he put it together in a devotion. And so the paper you have, if you just ignore the scripture verses to the side and read it as a devotion, this is what I read every morning before I started reading the Word of God. Because I wanted God's reasons to read the Word of God before I eat breakfast. And so here's the devotion. I'm going to read it to you, and I would encourage you to read it as well. But just listen to what God is saying about being rooted in the study of His Word and prayer. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heaven. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but you, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. He who keeps the law is a discerning son. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. And when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord, God Almighty. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How sweet are your promises to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It gives understanding to the simple. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through encouragement and endurance of the Scriptures we might have hope. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our home with him. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I tell you the truth, if a man keeps my word, he will never see death. The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I, Jesus, have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Blessed is the one who reads the word of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Heavenly Father, give us the strength, the discipline, the love to read your word daily, to desire it more than our necessary food, O Lord. For in it are words of life, joy, hope, giving light to my eyes. We thank you, O Lord, that we still have time, but not a lot. The time is short. Help what we read to encourage us to pray for the world around us and to pray those that we love into the kingdom. For the time is short. There's not much time. Send us on missions, O Lord, to reach the lost around us. Use us, O Lord, as wise judges because we have the mind of Christ. We should, as the church, be looking more like aliens and strangers in this life as the world goes corrupt and wicked. We should look very different. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for the preservation of the word, the fact that it's eternal and that we have it in our generation, not just for our benefit, but for the world around us. Help us, O Lord, to fulfill our calling before you, to hear your voice for our life and our ministry, all of us being different yet useful. Use us, O Lord. Raise us up in these last days. Raise us up We pray you rise up in these last days, Lord, but we know you also pray you rise up, my saints of God. I'm counting on you. I love you. You will never see death. And if you love me, I'll come dwell with you. I will live with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.